All right, welcome back to Sodas the Road. We're here with the guest, Daniel Amesbury, Diamond Hands.
Thanks for having me, man.
So first of all, where's the nickname come from?
It started with AJ, actually. Kind of when the first Ice Wars happened, we were kind of, he's like, oh, what's your nickname, blah, blah. And I was just kind of messing around with some buddies. And then at the time, you know, it was just one of those things that kind of came up. It kind of had a double meaning. I was into the crypto thing. I recently actually hit like a home run and sold this NFT to Ezekiel Elliott like that week.
Did you?
Yeah, and so when that happens, my buddies were just joking around, call me Diamond Hands. And then it came a double meaning because I used to, like, I obviously fight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And so my buddy's like, man, tell AJ Diamond Hands. Like, that's a good fight nickname. Because other than that, like, you know, the nicknames were pretty standard hockey nickname. Ainsy, you know, like stuff like that. So that's kind of how it started. I mentioned it to AJ and he was just stoked on it. And then it's kind of came from there.
My younger brother was laughing. He's like, when I told him I was doing the pod, he's like, his name is literally Danbury.
Yeah.
It's like Dan Amesbury.
Yeah.
Danbury.
That's honestly, I mean, that was one of the things that was kind of crazy. Like when I first got the call, I felt like the city is called Danbury.
Yeah.
I was like, I kind of have to go, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's brilliant.
And another thing too, like the owners of our team are the Diamond Brothers.
Are they?
And that was all after.
That was meant to be.
Yeah. Kind of just the universe, I guess.
Let's get into how it all started. I mean, first of all, I know because you took a huge gap in hockey, but growing up, talk about it, like, were you always kind of like the fighter?
It kind of grew, you know, like it kind of started, I guess, you know, my dad was a jail guard growing up, so he was like kind of tough, and I kind of just, you know, was around tough guys, I guess you could say. And then, you know, as I started getting older, I was never like the cool kid and stuff, and I kind of just, you know, you get picked on a little bit, and then you kind of start to, do you want to just, I'll tell Carlo. Do you want me to just, hey, Carlo.
Yeah, no.
You can cut this, right?
Yeah.
Carlo.
Yo.
You don't come in here for a bit. We're recording.
Huh?
You can't come in here right now because we're going to record, okay? Come back later. Come back later. Thank you.
All
right. That actually might have been good content. Yeah. You should have got him in
Thanks,
here.
Carlo.
Yeah. So, I'll just pick up where I left off.
Yeah.
So basically, kind of just kind of grew as I got older. I wasn't like the cool guy in school when I was young. And you know, you kind of get picked on a little bit. And then you kind of, as you get older, you kind of start to, I kind of got to a point where I kind of stood up for myself a few times. And then, but really when it happened was, you know, I was trying to make a junior team and like, I kind of had the toughness in me, but I didn't really know.
Interesting.
And then I was like a bubble player, probably wasn't going to make the team.
Yeah.
And I was in tryouts and I started getting into it. I was maybe 17, I think. And there's like a 21-year-old on the other team, you know, it was his last year, his age out year, 20 or 21, whatever he was. And I ended up getting a fight with him. I did really well. And the coach pretty much came running in the room, was like, stoked. He's like, oh my God.
That's you.
We didn't know you could do that. Like, you know, like pretty much offered me a contract right there. And then it kind of grew from there. You know, I wasn't a heavyweight that season. I was kind of just a middleweight that kind of would go heavies every once in a while and kind of just, I'd fight whoever. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily winning them all, but it kind of grew from there. And then I kind of realized what it was and it started getting easier and easier.
Yeah.
So.
Well, how big were you back then, like height and weight wise? Were you smaller?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was big. I mean, I was probably like my first year junior, maybe like 175.
Oh, damn.
You know, so I mean, I guess in junior, I wasn't huge. And then
you filled up.
I think my last year junior, I think I hit 195, and that was me being like big. You know, I felt big.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't like a huge kid, you know, necessarily.
So you weren't like growing up fighting every day and stuff?
No. I mean, I definitely grew up in like a tougher, like a blue collar town, you know, like
when I
was in high school, that was kind of, I did definitely go to like a tougher school. Like our school sport was rugby.
Yeah.
We were like a pretty tough school. So yeah, I kind of, I guess I did grow up in kind of a tough environment, and it kind of helped me a little bit kind of lead into that.
Yeah, it shaped, yeah. That's cool, though. Then I saw you went pro, like, right out of junior. So, like, obviously it was a easier path as, like, when you were fighting. But you were, like, so you were pretty much, you were a young kid fighting grown men at that point then. Like,
yeah.
When you went right pro.
Yeah, so it was kind of, like, accidental. Like, it wasn't really, I didn't really have the path, I didn't really plan on that path.
Yeah.
So I finished junior. I actually went to work on the pipeline. And I had a job on the pipeline, and I thought I was done hockey. Like, I was
really?
Like, hockey's over for me. Like, I pretty much was like, man, I aged out. It's too bad. Like, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
You know, this sucks. You know, I got to go get a job.
Yeah.
And as I was working that summer, and I got a call from actually Anthony Collins, who plays in the Coast for, I don't know who he's with now, but he's one of the tough guys in the Coast now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Collins called me and was like, hey, do you want to go try out for this team? You know, I think it was in Vermont. It was actually in the Federal League. And I was like, what? Like, what is this? Like, what is this league? I start looking it up and I'm like, Federal League, that's like the Slapshot League.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, I'm like starting to look this up. So I'm like, man, I'm just finishing my job on the pipeline. I had some money in the bank. I was like, well, whatever. I'll just go try out for this team.
Yeah.
And I was like, the team was half an hour from Montreal. In my head, I was like, nah, I'll try out for the team. I'll probably get cut and I'll just go to Montreal, party, head back home, and then go back
to work.
Make
it a good time.
Yeah,
good
literally, that was my plan. That was like what was going on in my head. So I ended up going to this camp. I think the first night I got there, I slept on the dressing room floor. Like, it was
nice.
Like pretty
that's,
federal.
That's
yeah.
very federal.
Yeah, very federal.
Is that the term in the locker room? This is very federal.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like, this is pretty fed.
This
yeah.
is so federal.
Yeah,
guys.
There's definitely some fed shit going
that's
on
hilarious.
Around here. But yeah, so literally slept in the locker room one day. I can't remember. I might have been a couple nights in the locker room. But yeah, ended up trying out. Didn't necessarily make the team. I was kind of like, I think they knew I had some money in the bank, so they're like, oh, we'll just keep them around. And they had some other guys they signed. And
yeah.
I don't know what their idea was, but they were kind of keeping me around but not actually signing me. They had me on PTOs, so they didn't have to consistently pay me. They could kind of just use me. And so I was kind of getting frustrated. And then so I was living, obviously, in the house with all the guys on the team at this point.
It's like a frat house?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, like a fed house. And so... I think there's probably 10 of us in one house.
Yes.
I mean, good times,
yeah,
but like
sure. good
not
memories.
Like great for the body because you're
no.
definitely on the pints every night.
Yeah.
And I think I was supporting everybody's drinking habit at the time. And, you know, I'd roll in, we'd be having beers every night. But it was, you know, we all got really close because we're living together. And the one guy got sent down, Morgan James, he just got sent down from the SP and he was in Columbus. And that week, so I got close with him, and he actually ended up being like my roommate. Like
I
was like literally sleeping in the same bedroom
yeah, like,
as this guy,
like a dorm room.
Yeah, and he's like 6'6", like 252. So he's a big boy, right? And so then I'm getting frustrated because I'm not getting played. Well, Danville Dashers come into town to play against my team, Vermont, and I was like, screw it, I signed with Danville.
Oh,
so
no,
now I'm
switched
playing. Yeah, I signed with Danville, and I played against all my roommates, and I fought that Morgan James,
the
who was like
guy?
Literally my like I bunk
Your
mate, like
mate,
I literally
yeah.
was like practically sleeping in the same bed as this guy, and
That's
I fought
funny.
Him twice that game.
Same game, man.
Yeah, fought him twice, and the first one he was kind of pissed because I got a little jump on him because I mean he was big and I was a little nervous, so
swing
yeah, I took a little jump on him, and then the second one we had a square up, and I did really good, and then. Man, I finished that road trip with Danville, and then I think I played 7 games in the Fed, and then I got called up to Columbus right away because they seen the fight, and they're like, man, this guy, you know, he's, you know, I was putting up, I think I had 4 points in 7 games, and I had like 5 fights, and then they called me
perfect.
Up right away, and then I was in Columbus, and actually, the funny part, when I got down there, they thought I was a forward, and I was a D-man.
Really?
So then they
What
turned,
do you play now?
I play forward.
You do, okay.
Yeah, but this is only my 4th season of forward. So I played D my whole life, and now I play forward. So
yeah. Quick switch up.
But yeah, and then we won the championship that year. And
oh,
that was
nice.
Kind of the beginning of my
pro
run, yeah.
Would have been funny if you signed with him for the team, fought him twice, went back to the room. Like, is that
well, that was what
happened.
Yeah, that was what happened. That
like,
is
dude,
what happened.
Great
yeah.
fights tonight.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We fought. And then we both
Holy
like
shit.
Slept in the same house that night. Like, we were like in the same room as each
dude,
other.
That's the shit. Like,
and he's like, "Dude, you're kind of a dick. Like, you jumped me in the first one. Like, what was that?" And I'm like, bro, you're 6'6". Yeah,
you
like,
gotta do what
on,
I gotta
like,
do, man.
Like, well, sorry, you know?
That's the shit I make skits about, man.
Yeah,
two guys,
that's literally
roommates,
what
fight, come back, hey, good fight.
Yeah, that was pretty much what
just
happened.
Grab a
we,
beer.
Yeah, we had a beer over it after.
That's
kind
funny
of some
as hell.
Classic hockey stuff right there.
So then you took a long gap from hockey, and it was it Ice Wars that brought you back?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How did Ice Wars come about? How did you get involved in it?
So I just see, it was kind of always a joke with me and my friends, like, yeah, man, if only there was like a league for hockey fighting. That yeah was like always a thing that me and my friends would float around. Because like, I just had this weird ability of fighting on ice, and like I always felt like a step up when I did it. And we would always talk about it. And then one day, AJ Galante posts a video on his Instagram,
yeah,
and said something about this new hockey fighting tournament he's going to put on, blah, blah, blah. And my buddy sent it to me. So I literally DM'd AJ right away.
Like,
on the Trashers page, I'm like, dude, this is who I am. Like, I know I don't have a big resume, but like, this is who yeah I fought. You know, I fought Aaron Bugard, Kip Brennan, like all these names. Started sending him fight yeah videos, box lacrosse fight videos, hockey fight videos. I'm like, dude, I'll literally fight anybody, any weight class. Like, I don't care. And I guess I got his attention. And then, yeah, that's kind of how it ended up coming about.
And you won.
Yeah, I ended up winning. Yeah, it was an 8-man tournament. I had to fight 3 times in one day.
I was just going to say, was that like you just fight, you know, get hit in the face, hop off, go right back in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it was a little yeah different because, like, in a hockey fight, you're fighting the whole fight, you have adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, this, you're, like, fight, the first round, you have adrenaline, second round, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then you got to go sit in the dressing room or in the back room and sweat it out and wait for the next round.
Yeah. Probably more anxiety before, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, well, I mean, at that point, I had trained so hard, I felt I was just in such a crazy calm state.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's probably why I did so well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just the fact that you got to think about it. After the second one, I remember just being so exhausted. I was laying on a couch in the back room, and I said out loud, which is, like, not my style to, like, say anything negative,
yeah,
but I was just like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do that again. And it just kind of came out. And my coach just looks at me. He's like, well, you don't really have a choice. Like, you're going into the finals.
You're doing it again.
Yeah, he's like, gives me a bag of ice. He's like, just lay down, don't move. And he turned the lights off. He's like, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Don't move.
Yeah, rest
up. And then I pulled a little veteran move because I was like trying to buy myself more time. So
yeah,
I gave my skates to my buddy. I was like, go get these sharpened, but do not come back for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So they come back and they're like, hey, you got to go out. And I was like, well, I don't have my skates. Like, they're getting sharpened. So
yeah. I left my skates at home.
Yeah. So I got myself like an extra 5 minutes or so.
Right? Every minute counts there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the other guy's probably tired too.
He probably appreciated it just as much. So.
But those guys were much bigger than you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I saw some videos and you're punching up.
Yeah, everybody. Like the guy in the final, Justin Sawyer, who played in the Central, played in the Coast, played for Rapid City. Like I fought him a couple times in the Central League and he's actually a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I ended up in the finals with him and he was 6'6", 295.
Dude, what the fuck?
So yeah, so he's
295.
Yeah, he's
holy
a big
shit
boy. And I think between the three guys I fought that night, it was like 870 pounds if you combined all their weight.
That's fucked.
So I was the smallest guy, like the lightest guy in the tournament.
I believe
at 224.
Quickest though, probably.
Yeah, quickest, and I had cardio, so.
Yeah.
But I mean, I soaked some heavy shots.
I can imagine 295 yeah hitting you on the head does yeah not feel that good.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal, but I mean, I got the dub.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Could have used a bit more of a paycheck, but I got the dub.
Was it decent money or was it?
I won 15 grand.
That's a good little,
good.
Yeah, good little win.
Yeah, it's better than the Fed's, you know.
It is.
Yeah,
yeah, it's probably a full coast
full
year.
Yeah, full season in the minors. Right?
Yeah. Fuck. Damn. So then your name kind of got put back out there a bit. And then
was it,
how long after that was it where you ended up here or ended up entertaining coming here?
So I did the second Ice Wars. I can't even remember how far apart they were, but the second Ice Wars happened, I want to say it was last summer in May or August. I think it was August, the second one. So it was around a year ago now, actually. And that was the second one. And I won that one. And then that was kind of when the conversation started about possibly playing, you know?
Yeah.
And then what happened was actually, I got to thank Marasti because he signed in Binghamton in the Federal League.
Yeah.
So every team in the league panicked because they're like, oh my God, John Marasti's coming out of retirement.
Is that Nasty Marasti?
Nasty Marasti. Like this guy's like, you know, he's like known as like the minor league goon of the century, whatever. So then when he signed,
nothing.
But it was the best thing for me because it was like an Amesbury Gold Rush. Like every team in the league called me.
Really?
So I was kind of like, all the cards were in my hands, and I was kind of like, you know, it wasn't really something that I thought about doing for real. Yeah. It was kind of just like, you know, we considered it, you know, but when I started crunching the numbers, I'm like, man, pay my rent. I'm like, opportunity with AJ to do the boxing thing. And I was like, man, screw it. Like, how many opportunities am I going to have to come out of retirement and do this again? And here I am, 32 years old, coming out of retirement. I didn't play for 8 years, I think, I took off. So
happy you did it?
I'm stoked. Oh, yeah, stoked, man. Like, and I got this like new passion for the game too. Like, I just, I feel like I'm more passionate about hockey now than I was when I played.
I could see that. A good break. Like, I feel like you get tired of it.
Yeah, it becomes a job. Yes. And like for me, the one thing for me is like the gratitude I have now, it's like I got to miss the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I got to like, I went through it. A lot of pro guys go through it. Like I was depressed. I missed the boys. I just have that camaraderie. I missed the road trips. I missed the conversations. And you know, when you're doing it consistently, you kind of, you take them for granted.
Yeah.
So the fact I got to miss it, and I actually went through like a period of my life where that was a huge, difficult thing for me to overcome.
I can imagine.
And then I finally overcame it. And then now I'm back. So that's one of the things I tell the younger guys, like on the road trips, when we're just having conversations on the back of the bus, like, man, I'm so grateful for these conversations. And I try to share it's that true. With guys, like, man, like, I got to miss this, so like just embrace it. Yeah, because one day you're not gonna have this and you're gonna be like, those were the best times, man. Like, remember when all we had to do was play hockey? You know what I mean? I remember that was all we had to do? But I can totally relate. I know that, you know, especially the end of the season grind when you start to like, we're not getting a day off. It's Monday, I'm not getting a day off. Are you kidding me?
The
like,
end of the years are tough.
Yeah.
It becomes a bag.
Starts to really feel like work, you know what I mean? Yeah. And someone that is working a 9-to-5 would never understand it because it's hard to explain.
It's more than a 9-to-5 you don't get paid hourly.
No. We're way below the league.
Yeah, I was
minimum wage. You don't even want to crunch the numbers.
You start counting the hours. Yeah. You get to like hour 10. You're like,
yeah, let's just stop doing this.
Never mind.
Yeah.
That's a tough day.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about game days. Game days are a 12-hour or 10-hour day.
Yeah. If you really think you can't do anything else.
People don't quite grasp that. Yeah. How much it actually is. Like the, I talk to a lot of people. They love the idea of, you know, being a hockey player, kind of like, oh, dude, like, you're living my dream. I'm like, well, like, was it your dream? Like, I'd do anything to play. Like, well, you didn't, you know, so now you're there. But they kind of like the idea. Like, they don't understand how much
the grind
really is. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's nonstop. And, like, you know, I've talked about it with fans here and stuff. And, like, they, you know, they say the same thing. Man, you guys are so lucky. And we are lucky. Obviously, we're doing something we're passionate about and stuff. But, yeah, like, near the end of the year, it starts to feel like a grind. And, like, I got, you know, this year for me, like, I fought, I don't know how many fights I had. It had to be, like, 30 fights. I think I hit the pro hockey record this year for penalty minutes. Yeah. 299. So
you think or you know?
It was the most in pro. Yeah, it was definitely the most in pro. But I was still
lot.
Pissed I couldn't get that extra minute.
Yeah, 300. That's a club, man. You could set that the 300 club.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got four. I think in junior I hit like four something.
Did you?
Yeah. My junior numbers are pretty outrageous.
Well, I feel like people are probably a little more timid now.
But it's hard. Yeah, it's a different game. Yeah, it's a little harder to find. But. Yeah, man, it's a grind, dude. It's no joke. Yeah. And you know, like, it's not like you're just coming into practice and you're done for the day. Like, you got to go to the gym. You got to maintain your body. You got to go do yoga or whatever. Yeah.
If you don't, you fall behind.
Yeah.
You get injured.
Big time. Yeah.
It's true. Man, I actually took a year off when COVID happened, like right after college.
Okay.
And I had that, like, it's such a, I'm glad I went through it, but it, like, you go living this high life, and all of a sudden it's like stops and it's kind of weird.
So
it's definitely
got a
weird
taste.
Yeah, I got a taste of it and it re-energized me to play a couple, like that was 2020-2021, and it re-energized me to come like and play pro. Like I found a new energy to do it. I probably mentally fatigued after college a bit.
Yeah.
But it definitely is weird because you live that high life. It's nonstop, always around people, always have that like dopamine of like laughter or something, you know, it's just always there. And it's just like, boom.
It ends. You're
it's
on
weird.
Your own.
It's a different pace. So it's definitely an adjustment.
So the one thing that I noticed the most, and like I actually taught, like I said, man, I went through it. Like I was like going through depression. I was like talking to people because I didn't like know what was going on. I actually got hooked up. Like I'm like, you know, Scott Parker. I don't know if you know him. He played Stanley Cup champ, played for the Colorado Avalanche. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has a nonprofit called Parker's Platoon.
Yeah.
And they deal with a lot of like ex-military that are done with military and ex-NHL guys. A lot of people that have trauma and stuff like that. PTSD, guys that have been hitting the head lots and stuff like that. And I got to talk to them through it because they were helping me and stuff like that. And one of the things we kind of, you know, figured out, and they helped me like find this and figure out what it was, is just like when you have all this stuff, you got the security blanket of the guys in the room.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about, you have one thing to do. You got to go out, you got to win hockey games.
Yeah.
You know, and you got the guys around you, and it's you like the buzz you're talking about.
Yeah,
you always got something fun going on around as far as energy's high. And then when you get into real life and all that stuff comes to an end and it's just like this, it just stops.
Yeah.
And then now you're by yourself. You don't have any direction. There's a million different jobs you can do.
Yeah,
and you kind of get a little bit lost. And that was the thing I went through. I was like, what way now? Mm-hmm. Like I've always had somebody tell me, this is what you're doing.
Right.
Just do this. We're going to take care of your living. Everything's fine over here. Don't worry about this stuff. Just worry about winning hockey games.
Go play hockey.
Yeah. And then, so I got into, now I got to pay all these bills and I was just like lost and I just didn't know what to do. And then not only that, you feel alone because you don't have the boys.
Yeah.
So definitely. I went through that and I healed, thank God. But when it was cool to kind of, like I said, go through that and then now I'm back. I'm just like so
grateful. You had that knowledge.
Yeah. And I like to share that with the younger guys too because I know what it can be like when you kind of, you know, especially when you start getting near the end of the season. Because I went through it this year. I was just like, oh, my God. Am I going to fight again? Are you kidding?
Body hurts.
Yeah.
The fight amounts definitely go down
as the
year goes on.
Near the end of the year.
Preseason.
Everybody comes in high-stepping.
Yeah, the first few games, like the first month of the season is a ton of fights.
Oh, yeah.
Even in, like, the coast, there's people are just looking for spots in the team.
Yeah.
So it's,
everybody's trying to – and then everybody gets comfortable.
Yeah. Then it kind of slows down. People get tired.
Yeah. Everybody's body starts to hurt.
Yeah.
They're
like, all right.
Yeah, this year I ended up, we probably had like 15 games left and I tore my tendon off my bone and my pinky.
Nice.
And I mean, like, what am I going to do? Like stop playing?
Like during a fight?
Yeah. I think I don't know if it was from like a punch or if it was from a jersey or something, but I mean, it's kind of a normal thing. They call it jersey finger, I guess. And it was just like dangling. Like it literally was just hanging. I couldn't lift it like this.
That's gross.
It healed pretty good.
Yeah.
But so for the rest of the season, I fought with one hand. I was just dropping one glove and just grabbing guys with my glove on and just pumping them with another hand.
I saw the video because you were mic'd up.
Yeah, that one.
That was actually, I wanted to talk about that because, I give credit to some of these kids that you, like that will fight.
Yeah.
You, like that dude.
He's an older guy too, that
was
guy.
Was he?
Yeah.
I was shocked to see him blindside hit you like
oh,
in the corner.
Buried me.
I was like, wow, okay. Like that guy's got some balls. He
I
just
know.
Fucking ran
yeah.
him. And you go and bag him with one hand.
Yeah. He did bury me. I got to give it to him. Like, I think he's older than me.
Was he?
Yeah. And like I said, I go pick up the puck and he just crushes me from behind.
Like, cheap hit.
And I get up and I look and I'm just like, did that just fucking happen?
Like, it's like, all right.
I'm thinking like the only tough guy on the other team was Schmidt and he's like my buddy. And I'm like, I don't think Schmidt would have buried me from behind like that. And I look up and it was his D partner.
Ballsy
and I'm
hit.
Just like, whoa, okay. And then I kind of go up to him like, hey, like we kind of got to go now.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just bluffing. I wasn't going to jump him or anything, but I wanted to like let him know, like at least kind of spook him a little bit. And he just turns and drops his stuff. I'm like, all right, drop one glove. And I think at the beginning of the fight, I even told him like, don't worry, buddy. I only got one hand.
I think
he's like, I know. And then
he's like, that's why I did it.
Yeah, probably.
I know.
He's probably, I knew you had one hand. That's why I buried you from behind.
Then you dusted him.
Yeah.
I was cracking up at the video. And then you're just like,
the one-handed,
like so.
The one-handed Sally. I'm not gonna lie. Like when I watched that clip back, I was dying because I looked over and I don't know. I don't even think I knew the camera was there. I just kind of like looked down and one hand like
it
just
was
looked
comical.
Like such a meathead. I think my strap on my was hanging too. I just like, it's good stuff, man.
It was so like quick too and like.
Yeah.
You're like, yup.
Oh, yeah, that was
That's
good,
right.
man. Good times. Yeah. Life in the Fed.
So when did the rough and rowdy start?
So yeah, so the Rough and Rowdy happened like mid-season kind
this
of
year.
Thing. Yeah, okay. Like that was kind of one of the deals when I came here too. I told the coach, I'm like, listen, man, like if there's any other like, you know, events or boxing or whatever, yeah. if it happens during the season, like I'm going to have to go for the weekend. Like it just is what it is because that's mm-hmm. kind of like my, that's like the whole reason I'm coming here is to kind of build my yeah. platform and do that kind of stuff. So they were really good about it, which is awesome here in Danbury. And AJ got a call to do like a, you know, they wanted him to come to the Rough and Rowdy event. It was in Providence.
Yeah.
And they thought, I guess, oh, it'd be cool if AJ Galante came. It was kind of close by.
Yeah.
So he was going to do like, just come there. They want him to just show some up promo. And be like, oh, AJ Galante's here. And he's like, oh, I have a way better option. He's like, I got my heavyweight champ in town that lives in Danbury, plays for the pro team here. Why don't you just get him yeah. a fight? And they're like, oh, no way. That's awesome. So they were doing like old, like, you know, they were trying to do like, you know, the Ice Wars crashed the,
right.
you know, Rough and Rowdy kind of thing. And then they did that. And I thought it would kind of just be a one and done thing. And then I knocked the guy out in like 12 seconds. And
yeah,
then
it was quick.
It just kind of, now the Rough and Rowdy's kind of like a gig now.
That was a guy too. He had never been knocked out.
Yeah.
He was like saying yeah. he wasn't, even yeah. though he just face planted him.
Oh yeah. Like, it, you know, the Able Brothers, those guys are like the fan favorites.
Of, okay.
Or the, like everybody loves yeah. them. Yeah. I don't know. Like they're super good dudes. Too.
Yeah.
Super good dudes, man. But yeah, I you know, you got to be a ruthless vato in the fight game, you know? So.
Was that your first boxing match? Like
yeah.
no headgear, like professional?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. First, like my first real boxing match, like you could probably tell when you watched because I was just like swinging for
yeah,
the
you
fence.
Went out and
like,
just swung.
My head was up. Yeah. And then the same, like I had, and then I ended up getting another one against this other guy and it was kind of the same thing. I just came out and just swung for the fence.
Well, I was going to say, I saw this, that was Strawberry guy.
Strawberry Cowboy, yeah.
I saw he came out, ran at you and
yeah,
smoked
yeah.
you
he
in the
caught
face.
Me too, yeah, yeah, he clipped like, me.
Right
yeah.
away.
Portnoy actually came up to me after that and I didn't realize like, I knew I got hit, but I didn't realize like yeah. I got tagged like pretty good. And Portnoy, I ran into him in the hallway and like, I give those guys their space. Like I'm not going to run yeah. up to Portnoy and be like, hey bro, what's up? Like, you know, if yeah. he comes up to me, I'll talk to him or whatever. And he ended up, I walked right into him in the hallway and he's like, Diamond Hands. He's like, man, you got an iron chin. And I was kind of like, and I didn't even like remember. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, thanks man. Like, yeah, I've been punched a few yeah. times. Like, and then, dude, he's like, and then yeah. we just kind of BS'd for a couple seconds and that was kind of it. But then I watched the video and I'm like, oh yeah, I definitely got tagged.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that guy came out flying and
yeah.
then ultimately had the
your
same.
Your chin end. Is generally supposed to be your last line of defense, but like for some reason it's my first.
Man, yeah. they're
trying to change that currently.
Yeah, yeah.
Working on it.
Well, I mean, now you're training boxing yeah. every day, so it's
yeah, it's been
better
fun,
at it, so.
Especially in the summer. Like that was mid-season, so obviously, yeah. like your
you
body's banged
in.
Up. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Like I was boxing, you know, a couple days a week at that point, but now yeah. I'm in the summertime. I'm like, dude, I'm full time. I'm in the gym every day, like pretty much twice a day right now.
You feel yourself getting better?
Oh yeah, way better. And like they got me sparring like legit fighters now,
really?
So it's been good, man. Yeah, sharpening the knife and. And I find a lot of passion for it. It's fun. Like it's a new sport for me.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and I'm just starting right. to figure it out. And it's one of those things, like every sport, it just goes so much deeper than you know from the outside perspective.
Yeah.
Like when you really get in there and you start scratching the surface, you're like, oh my God.
Some opportunity.
This sport is like so much more to it than just putting your chin down
right.
and being tough. Like
yeah.
there is so
science.
Much chess that's going on and like
yeah.
just like, and it just interests me because when you watch it, you don't see that as
yeah.
like a regular fan
yeah.
that's not, doesn't really know much.
Much different.
About it. It's like, now I'm starting to scratch that surface. I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is, there's a lot of thinking going on. So.
Yeah. All like the feints, the
yeah.
the setting up combos. Like
yeah.
The different...
And you could do something like, I mean, our Rough and Rowdy, you can't really set guys up because they're short rounds and stuff. But like
just run it,
when you're sparring guys, like, you know, you spar a guy for 5 3-minute rounds. It's like, you can literally do something for the first two rounds to set him up for like one power shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you throw like 5 or 6 good body shots. You just keep going to the body, keep going to the body. And then next time you just faint, give him one of these and he goes down like this and you just crack him high. So it's like you can set all these moves up and stuff. And it's weird because you're getting punched, but you have to think.
Yeah, that's...
So it's like a very unique sport, you know?
That is hard.
You got to use your brain while the other guy's trying to like stop you from using your brain.
Yeah. What do you find more difficult, a boxing fight or a hockey fight?
I think a boxing fight. I just think it's just more goes deeper. It. Yeah, it just goes deeper. And I'm pretty comfortable in hockey. Like I've just done it longer. Times. Yeah, I got lots of experience. I've got hundreds of hockey fights, but only, you know, 4 boxing fights. Yeah. So
you'd kill every one of them in a hockey fight, though.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's one of the things I realized too. Like a difference of a boxing versus a hockey fight. Like you can move, like if you're quick and good footwork in a boxing fight, like you can dance around, or even in a street fight you can like dance around and move, but like in a hockey fight, man, it's you lock up and it's you're there.
It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. There's no running. You can't go anywhere, and that's like no running away. When I fought for AJ in the tournaments, it was 1-minute rounds, and people were like, oh, that's not very long. I'm like, dude, you're attached.
Yeah.
It's like tying your arms together and being like, okay, fight for a minute. It's
you're
like
right there.
There's nowhere to go. There's no real, your only real line of defense. You can do like a little shoulder roll and stuff, but like you're not able to get away from them. And in boxing, you can get space and take a breath.
Yeah, you know, you can move away from a punch.
Yeah, exactly. Not whereas hockey. hockey fighting's gnarly, man.
It's
tough. It's a pretty cool thing, man. Like I said, I think it should be its own. Like it's gotta. There's something there with like it being its own sport or something, because, you know, obviously you don't see as much of it. Obviously people love it. You don't see as much of it nowadays in the NHL and stuff. Yeah. The game's changing, which is fine. But at the end of the day, like people want to see it. So
people like fighting.
Yeah.
And watching fighting.
Yes. and I feel like nowadays too, you're in a time where people, what's new? Like people are just so overstimulated. Yeah. They want something different.
For sure.
So it's like all these new things, like bare knuckle comes up, and they're like all these things come up, and it's like they're new. So everybody's like, oh, that's the new thing. I want to be trendy. I want to watch this new sport. So
it's
cool, man.
Yeah, I've only had a couple on ice fights, but they're definitely like you're right in there.
Yeah, like, you can't get away.
You get an adrenaline though. It's kind of interesting. Like when you first, like the first one, and you like don't, you like you get hit in the face, but you don't really feel it. You have so much adrenaline.
You don't even know what happened after.
You're like, sick. Did I win?
Yeah, no clue. Like that's the thing. Like I'll black out. Yeah. Like not as much now that I'm like better at controlling myself. I don't get as excited. But like when I was younger, especially, I'd black out. I wouldn't have any idea, because like all those endorphins and everything that just dumps, all that adrenaline dumps, and you literally black out on adrenaline. Yeah. You have no idea what's going on. Like. Yeah, you just get in the box after, you like, okay, buddy, like, did I win? Like, what happened?
How'd I do?
Am I all right? Like, did I get knocked out? Like, I have no idea what happened.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
It's, man, it's tough. I've seen, like, obviously, the more you did it, you probably got more comfortable. But I've seen it. Like, there was this one dude on my, he crossed paths to the Mariners in Maine. Ian McKinnon. I don't know if you've seen him fight. He's actually a fighter in the A, mostly. He gets paid really good to be a fighter in the A. But he was the most impressive guy I saw on ice. The way, like, he's like probably like your height, only like 190, and he just like fights these heavyweights. But what was so crazy about him, he would just go like this and put his arm out and just chin up.
Yeah.
And just like didn't care if he got hit, he'd get smoked in the face. And
just
didn't
give him one back.
And then he would just kill them. I'm like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Like I fought, I'm like tucking my head. I'm not trying to get smoked in the face, you know?
Yeah, there's like a thing. Like you want to keep your eyes on them, but you want to keep your chin tucked. Like, but like honestly, hockey fighters are usually good at getting hit, because like I say, there's not like, even you watch, I was watching the Probert documentary last night. I don't know how many fights I'm watching. These guys are just like, boom. And then that guy goes, boom.
Boom.
It's like, do they not like want to roll their shoulder? Like,
there's
nothing like, there's like not much where, you know, it can't really go anywhere. Mm. So it's, yeah, man, it's a very unique trade for sure.
So, well, boxing now. So you got the Rough and Rowdy fight. Is it next week?
Yeah, it's like 8 days away. So I actually just hit my weight today for the first time.
What's it at?
I'm like 214.7 this morning.
Is that what like the fight?
215 and under. 215 is what I need to be. The guy I'm fighting is like 210.
I saw he's like 6'6".
He's 6'6", yeah.
A Polish hammer.
210, kind of skinny.
Yeah, that is thin for 6'6".
You know what I mean?
Guy.
If you're 6'6", you gotta be like at least 220, you know?
Yeah.
Like at least.
At least.
You know? If you're like a fighter, you think you'd be
like...
Yeah, but it'll be good. I'm excited. I've been sparring big guys and stuff.
Nice.
So, yeah, the one guy I've been sparring, he's 6'6", 265. He's 22-1 as a pro.
Oh, damn.
So like I feel like I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, I've been fighting...
Is this the first one you really like did a camp for?
Yeah, I mean, I did a camp for Ice Wars and stuff like that, but like this is like, it's the first It's my first boxing one where I actually was able to put the time in like this. I'm still skating from time to time when my body when my body feels, you know, okay and the boys are out. I'll come. We skate at like 6 a.m. every once in a while. But yeah, now that I'm getting closer, I've kind of cut the skating out.
Yeah,
full time boxer.
Drained you.
Yeah, it's tiring. So, but yeah, man, it's been really fun. So it's been good.
Hell yeah! And then I saw you were trying out for Bare Knuckle too. Did you get signed on? How's that work?
Yeah, so we're in talks now. Like they want me to fight for sure. Like that's the plan. When we do it, it's kind of just all about strategy now. Cause you know, I want to bring value to the company.
Right.
I want to make sure there's a paycheck involved for myself.
Yeah.
So now it's just kind of like, you know, when do I go? Barstool is such a good platform. I'm in absolutely no rush to leave Barstool, you know? So I think I'm just going to kind of stick around, man. I want to do the Barstool thing. I want to get the belt and that's kind of my goal with Barstool.
Build a platform.
Yeah, and kind of it'll be great for that. And like I said, I'm in no rush to go do Bare Knuckle, but I definitely am going to do it before I hang him up. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So is your goal you want to be like champ Rough and Rowdy, like Bobby
right now,
Lang?
That's Bobby Lang. That's kind of my short-term goal right now for Rough and Rowdy. And then like, I mean, I just want to take over Rough and Rowdy as much as I can. Like I feel like I could probably go super heavy, get the super heavyweight belt. I could probably get pretty crazy and go down to 185 and take that belt too, but like we'll see. You know,
how big is super heavy?
It's anything over 215. So like I fought that first kid. It was in the super heavy.
Who's the champ?
Abel
at that?
Was 229, I think, when I fought him.
Jeez.
I think I was maybe like 219 or something like that.
Some big bodies.
Yeah. So like that was a little bigger, but the champ of that actually, it's kind of like a. The champ of that just gave it up.
Oh, really?
So now they're having a fight at this event that I'm going to with the American Redneck and the Black Italian Stallion, which is like such a strange nickname. I'm not even sure if I like feel
I don't
comfortable
even know
saying
that
it.
That works.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
that's something.
But so I mean, it's such a fun promotion to be a part of. Like, those events are hilarious. Like,
the commentary is funny as hell.
It's classic.
They know nothing.
Yeah. They're They're like, they just like come in. They're like, oh yeah, this guy looks jacked. Like, he's for sure gonna win. And it's a fun show. And it's like the thing for me is like I have like getting interviewed after. I'm like I'm more intimidated for that than the actual fight. I feel like because these guys are all comedians too, and they're good, and they're like just trying to jam you up like any way they can.
Yeah, they want clicks.
Like Caleb on the first one, I was just like I didn't even know what to say.
And he's a
like,
riot.
He's got like these one-liners, and he's just like, yeah, we'll see, buddy. And he like turns and like just I can't even respond. He just like goes like this.
Did you post that clip? You should post that.
I don't know if I did or not. But
he's got buzz.
Yeah,
you got to find a way to get on his.
Yeah, those ones he does. Yeah,
Sunday conversations.
Oh, those are funny, man.
They're a riot.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, it's good, man. Barstool is awesome.
What weight is Bobby Lang at?
So Bobby Lang's right now at this event that's coming up. He's fighting light heavyweight, which is there. I think they're fighting at 180, but I think that weight class is 185 and below. So that's the light heavyweight belt. He's trying to get that one back because he just lost it.
Oh, he did.
But he also has the heavyweight belt, which is 215 and below.
Okay.
So I would probably, after this one, say I fight Bobby Lang, I'd probably meet him at like 210 or something.
Okay.
Or he would probably come up to like 205. I don't know what he would come up to, but I would meet him somewhere.
Interesting.
You know, within maybe 5 or 10 pounds probably.
I saw him, I didn't talk to him, I saw him at a bar in my town. He lives...
He's in Boston,
South
too,
Shore,
I think,
so we're probably like 25 minutes apart. He grew up in Braintree, Mass.
Yeah,
and he just happened to be like at a little like beach
He's
bar.
He's a character, that guy.
Yeah. Have you met him? You chat with him?
Yeah, I've talked to him a few times.
I just saw, like, my friend pointed out. I was like, I think that's the Rough and Rowdy guy. I was like, that's Bobby.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sizing him up for you. You know, I'm kind of looking at him like, I think Diamond Hands got him.
He's got him. Nice.
I think so.
Yeah.
Man, it's entertaining though. I was watching a couple this week, like your fights, his fights, just seeing like,
I want
to see it though.
It'll be good. No, I think it's going to be a big draw too. Like, I think people want to see it. Like, I think they've done good at like kind of leading it on, like rather than just giving it to me right away, let's kind of build it up a little bit and stuff. But I think it's going to be good. Like, it's definitely going to be a fun matchup. Like, we both like to get right in there.
Yeah.
So he's shorter. He's probably going to try and pressure me.
Yeah,
I like being pressured, so like I don't mind, you know. So
you'll swing.
Yeah, I'll definitely swing. Put my chin down and go toe to toe with him. But Yeah, man, that's kind of the plan right now. You know, like I said, the bare knuckle thing, it's kind of always there. It's not like something I'm going to rush to do, but kind of just another, like a networking thing and another option. I might do a couple. They have like an amateur promotion and they fight with like MMA gloves. So I might do a couple of those because I can do those and still do Barstool. Yeah, so I might do a couple of those coming up here.
Hell yeah. Do you have an angle for it, or are you just going with the flow?
For what?
Like, just in general. Like,
I'm headed?
Yeah, the fighting world. Now that you've kind of like establishing, you're getting into these different worlds like boxing, bare knuckle, like do you have an angle of where you want to take it?
Yeah, like honestly, I want to get into some of these big cards. Like, you know, you see where boxing's going now with like influencers and people with followings. I'm just like, man, I just want to build the biggest following I can possibly build. The more of a following I have, the more value I can bring to a fight. So like really right now, it's just about building a platform, gaining a following, and then just the sky's the limit, man. Like nowadays, you know, I feel like, you know, me and AJ have a lot on the horizon that we're kind of just getting going with our podcasts and stuff like that we're just getting started. And you know, like we're kind of just, we have a long-term plan, and I kind of know the direction that I want to head. And I've had the same plan since I left Vancouver when I moved to Danbury in the first place, and it's kind of all been falling in place like faster than I expected. Unfold. Yeah, it's been like a little over a year since the first Ice Wars, and everything's, it's happened quick.
Yeah,
it's
that's been really fast. Quick. I remember finding out who you were because my teammate was telling me about the Rough and Rowdy event. Yeah. It's like so Amesbury Ice Wars, he's fighting Rough and Rowdy. I'm like, oh, like look you up, and you followed me. I was like, oh. Yeah. Fall back, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I ended up checking you out. I was like, oh, this is sick. This guy's crazy.
Yeah, I just try and be like, and like, even for me, like, I just try and be like, it's kind of fun for me to play where I'm at. Like, I played in the Central, you know, it wasn't the Coast at the time, the Central merged with the Coast, but I got some calls this year to go to the Coast and stuff. But I'm like, man, like, being where I'm at, I'm with AJ. I'm well taken care of here to the point where I can train at the gym with AJ, and I can come play hockey, and it's a little more gritty of a league, so it's better for me and like what I'm doing, and like I really get an opportunity to like bring the most entertaining game I can to the game, you know, like I try and be entertaining, and I don't really hit guys anymore though because I got in trouble at the beginning of the year just killing guys.
So, really?
Yeah, like a couple big hits, a couple big suspensions, but it's not like the Central League in 2010, I guess, or 2011.
Yeah, I guess it's a little different nowadays.
Yeah, it used to be able to just like blindside guys, but you can't really do that anymore.
No, I guess.
If they don't see you coming, it's like an issue for sure.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because like you're always taught like keep your head up, but like now like you just keep your head down, nobody can hit you.
Yeah, it is interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. There's the safety aspect of it, but it's like...
Yeah, I think anything's fair enough if you hit him right in the chest.
Yeah, I had a hit my second game. So, well, my first two games, I had, like, devastating hits, like stretchers. My first two pro games this season. It was my first two pro games back, and two guys, like, stretchers. And, like, I obviously don't want to hurt guys, but, like, they're both, like, clean. The first one, absolutely no penalty on the play. Clean as a whistle, right into his chest, but I was
just
boogying,
wasn't looking.
You know, 225 pounds, like boogieing, you know, and caught him pretty good. And then
whiplash.
I come back the following weekend, and I didn't know anybody in the league. I didn't know who anyone was. And Yates, the smaller guy, I
saw the hit.
I was back checking.
I did.
And
see
he
that
comes
hit.
Through and does some like I'm watching him as I'm back checking. Yeah. I'm like, if this guy comes through the middle, I'm just gonna cut over and wreck him. Like I seen him and I was like, there's no way this guy's coming to the middle. There's no way this guy's coming to the middle. And then he starts coming and I start coming over and I'm like, This isn't happening right now. And then he does some like spinorama. Like he like puts the puck like in his feet and like does the most dangerous spino, like Eric Lindros right in the neutral zone. And I was just, and I clipped him. And I swear it was a clean like contact. The contact looked clean to me.
Yeah.
But when I watch back now, it's like, okay, he's got to have the puck on his stick.
Yeah,
he's got to be looking at you. So now I'm like getting all these new rules that.
You posted it, I think, and you're like,
did,
what do you guys think of this? Yeah. So I actually grew up playing against that kid. He's from my area.
Yeah, he's a good player too.
Yeah, he's skilled. He was good in high school. So I've just always like known who he was. And then when I was in my year off, I was buzzing around mentally because I was finding a team and then like the vaccine stuff happened.
Trying to skate,
So like when I was going pro, I was supposed to be at camp. Didn't have my second back at the time, and I ended up switching teams, so I was without a team, buzzing around men's league,
flying. I'm just lighting it up.
Like nice. I'm like taking guys wide, cutbacks, like flying.
Four goals a game. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm deadly.
But this kid Gavin Yates was on the team.
On your team?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I was just chatting with him. He's like, "Yeah, I'm playing in like the Fed, like weekends." He's like, "I'm working during the week," and he's like, "You just come whenever you want." So like, I knew he was like kind of like playing, and then I see your post. I'm like, oh, look at this crossover, this multiverse.
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, no. Yeah. Fucking, yeah, you killed him.
Yeah, it was a big hit. And, like, you know, my cousin's a ref on the dub and stuff, and I even, like, hit him up like, hey, dude, like, break this down for me. Because, like, it's been, you got to remember, I'm coming out of a time machine. Like, I left the game in the Central League days, and then I'm coming back, and I'm like, you know, obviously I know the game changed a little bit, but I'm not, like, totally, it wasn't the smoothest transition for me. It was just like, leave the Central League where like elbows in the head were pretty much legal and then come back 10 years later, 8 years later when it's starting to really change. And
did hit him in the chest.
Yeah, the puck.
He wasn't looking and he didn't.
So it was big. He actually thanked me for it later at the end of the season. He's like, "Hey, like you like got me sober, so thank you." I was like, "That is honestly the coolest."
Because he was conked.
Yeah, he just said it rocked him and it just kind of shook him up. And he's like, "Yeah, I got my shit together." That's what he said. And because I was worried, because like we played him, we knocked him out of playoffs, and we're shaking hands. And I was like, "Hey, dude, just so you know, like I'm sorry I hurt you. You know, like I would have hit anybody like that at that point. I didn't know who you were. It's not like I was." Everybody thought I was like going for him because he was their star player. I was like, I didn't even know who you were. I just seen a guy cutting the middle of his head down. I was back checking. I'm going to hit you. And that's what it was. Yeah. Sorry you got hurt, blah, blah, blah. Gave him a hug and stuff. And then he thanked me right there. He's like, "Hey, thank you, dude. Like you shook me up." And he's like, "I got my life together. I'm feeling good now." And like
in this moment?
Yeah. Right there. He said that.
Like after the hit?
He said this when we were shaking hands after we knocked him out of playoffs, like at the end of the season.
So, so it was after the year.
At the end of the season. Like, the season just ended. No, he wasn't like you're just getting out. He gets up. He's like, "Dude, thank you." No,
thank
dude,
you.
He was
drugs.
Pissed, dude. He was pissed. Oh, shit, was pissed. When it all happened, he was pissed. He was posting on Facebook. He's like, "Fuck this guy."
Really?
And then near the end of the year, I think like that's when we had this moment, this moment of our handshake, and I just said, "Hey, dude, sorry you got hurt. Like, wasn't intended to hurt you. That's how I play the game. Like, you know, I play the game hard, and you just happened to be cutting the middle of your head down, and I was there." And he's like, "Hey, dude, I actually wanted to thank you because like I got my shit together." And I was like, "Dude, I respect that. That's pretty
you're
cool."
Like, "You're welcome."
Yeah, I didn't quite say you're welcome.
Like, I take my apology.
It crossed
back.
My mind though. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Actually, I'm not sorry. Yeah, I know.
Good on you.
But good for him though. But it's kind of cool.
Fuck yeah, that's. I mean,
I could have used a hit like that. Maybe like you know when I was first retired, I could have used a hit like that.
So it's a violent game. Yeah, it's. I don't. Yeah, I guess if you're like Kant, he probably couldn't drink or something.
Oh yeah. I mean, I know all about it. Like I've been rocked to the point where it's like you don't feel good. You know, you get nauseous. I'm sure you've had a concussion before. Yeah,
still dealing with one.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's like especially when you're playing like during the season. It's the worst, you know. Back in the day, we try and hide it. You'd be like, "Oh, don't tell coach. Like, don't tell the trainers. Like, you just try to play through it, you know." At least now we know what we're dealing with. And
It's a violent game, man. It definitely happens. I lost a tooth this year. Got conked.
Oh, I seen that. You went right up in your gum.
Yeah, this one.
Oh, that's greasy. I was listening to that last night. I was kind of catching up on some of your content and. I seen you had a tooth go up in your gum.
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, that sounds fun."
It wasn't a great moment. You got all yours still?
Dude, I got all my teeth.
Do you wear a mouth guard?
No.
No?
No, and you know what?
I don't even know if it helps.
I don't know. The weird thing is like, I used to like be pissed I had all my teeth.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I know, now I'm like grateful I have them all, but like, back in the day when I was like, you know, it was like my first 2 years pro, like we'd go out for dinner and like, I remember in the Central League, like my team would always have a plate at the center of the table and everybody would put their flippers on the plate. Like this one team.
That's a riot.
In Tulsa, dude, everybody would just like, when we'd go for dinner, everybody would put their flippers on the one plate. And it would just be like the centerpiece of our dinner table would be everybody's teeth. I used to be like, man, like, I'm the fighter around here. Like, how come I can't put my teeth on the
let
table?
Let me put that.
What the hell? Like,
that's funny.
Yeah. So I used to be kind of pissed I had all my teeth, but kind of grateful now.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I took a swing.
Like a nice little tomahawk in the mouth.
Yeah, like I don't think, that, man, it's weird, the body, like I didn't feel it.
When you're
like,
playing, right?
Like, it's so weird. Your body just goes into that adrenaline. Like I knew what happened and it hurt. Like right when it hit, I was like, fuck. And then I'm like, just like, shit, my tooth is gone. You know, I'm like, where is,
were
like,
you what looking
do I
for
do? No, I'm like, it was just like, I got hit. I knew it was gone. I'm like, fuck. Then I'm kind of like, I don't like, what do I do? You know, I'm like, shit, my tooth's gone. And I'm like, I like took my glove off. I'm like,
was the play still going or well, was it like,
no,
whistle
he
gone?
Blew the whistle. Yeah. Like after I like threw my glove off, he was like standing next to me. I think he saw it and he was like, the ref was like, oh fuck. Like stop the play. And I'm just getting off. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. It was, but then it's like so much adrenaline. Like I didn't feel pain. It's so strange. Man. The next day I did. Next day was a little
next
pain.
Next week, probably.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks it was ugh. Eating with stuff. But now it's the new norm. I'm gonna get her replaced and whatnot. But
at least it was just one.
Yeah, it was tough. It's not ideal for like. At first, I was pretty pissed because like the video world and like I'm going into that full time now, and I was kind of like shit.
You need your gyps.
No, I had no tooth, but I mean the flipper
it
does a trick.
It kind of fits your hockey content guy though. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's kind of like
I wrote it into the short film that we just.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Cool.
So I mean it works out. It has its benefits. I might as well use it while I'm missing it.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Are you gonna get like a full like an implant?
I think so.
Implant?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Figure that out.
Shit, that's a grind. We had Ojic this year. Gene Ojic's son. He's on my team. And he, I don't know if you know Gino Ojikwa. He's a tough guy for the Canucks way back in the day. But Ojik, he's on my team, and he took a freaking tomahawk in the mouth this year. Like, the guy just turned around. I guess the guy was pissed. Like, it for sure.
Oh, he really hit
it
him.
It for sure was, yeah, he should have been like a 10-gamer dude. He turned around and went like this one hand, like, reverse swing. Jesus, and it just caught him, like, broke his jaw, took out, like, I don't even know how many of his jibs.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, and the kid, yeah, dude. And then he goes home for a bit, and he ends up coming back, and he didn't even get any, he went home for a bit. I don't even think he went to the dentist. He just, like, came back. He's like, yeah, my jaw's broken, I got no teeth, and he just finished the season.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's a straight warrior, so.
Yeah,
clutch playoff guy for
yeah, I guess so, huh? Yeah. Playing the next game, because then you got to put, like, the
bubble on.
Like, yeah, I had, like, a cage bubble, and I'm like, and then you can't even see. Then I'm like.
Did you go cage or did you go bubble?
Well, I tried both. And then I couldn't breathe in the fucking bubble. I'm like, this sucks. So I put the cage on. They're like, now I can't see. So then I literally took it off, and I was going with the visor. And then I'm like, this is also a bad idea.
This is sketchy.
Every play, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, the PTSD.
Yeah, but also it's still like, it was like 5 days later. I don't know why I didn't like take a couple weeks off. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, yeah. It was like 5 days later. I'm like, yeah, I'll play.
What about like the jaw protector visor combo?
I didn't really.
That might have been one.
Yeah, maybe if in the higher leagues.
But I feel like I never went back to a cage. Like I wore a cage when I was younger, but I never went back. But I could imagine it being a tough.
All of a sudden, there's lines in your face.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Can't see. And then that's actually when I got hit in the head pretty good. And then I got a concussion in that game, so that was
just a tough go.
That was the last game of my hockey career. It was exciting.
No. Are you done now, then? Oh, shit, yeah. Hanging them up.
Yeah, okay. Just doing this full-time like the video shit, yeah.
I'm good for you.
Yeah, got more motivated by it.
You're passionate about this now, right? Yeah, well, that's kinda. The thing, man. Like I said, I've been through it, and, like, it's a grind, dude. And the body needs a rest.
Yeah, it does.
I was grateful I had my 8 years to heal up, and I don't know how long I'll be able to do this, but I'll do it for a bit.
Yeah, might as well ride it out while you can, right?
Yeah, it's been good, so.
Fuck yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've probably been going for like a good hour, so I think we could wrap up, but thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, man.
It's a cool story. Hopefully it, you know, you can use clips. I'll post some clips. Hopefully it just gets your story out there more.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, going. Appreciate it. Yeah, right on, man. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well,
cool.
We'll see you in the next episode.